All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And we will be there momentarily in Acts chapter number 8. And as you're finding your place there, I want you to think of maybe a time that you tried to maybe buy something online or maybe even in person. You know, you go to Walmart, you go to Tops or to the gas station, or you go online, you go to Amazon. And, you know, this is especially true online. You go online, you're looking for a particular item, and you find the item, but it says, see price in cart. And so they want you to add the item to your cart. And then the only way you can see it is if you begin the checkout process. And so you find out that instead of just going, buying the item, that there's some extra step, there's some hidden step, some unexpected obstacle at checkout. I know when maybe you go shopping, I know we've had it, not so much recently, but we've had times when we've went shopping, I think over a store I can recall, JCPenney. We would go shopping there, and we go out and check out, and one of the things they ask you, instead of just letting you know, check out, they say, well, would you like to sign up for the JCPenney credit card, and it'll save you this much on your bill today? And we're like, no, we don't want to sign up for the JCPenney. Well, what if we give you an extra 10% off or something? No, just, you know, and they just, you know, step after step after step, you know, and all you want to do is buy your little item and be on your way. And you don't want all the extra steps or the obstacles at checkout. You know, you're ready to check out, but something just blocked the transaction. Or you think of, you know, you're there in line, you're getting ready to check out, or you're ready to check out, and somebody in front of you, you know, for whatever reason, they're holding up the line. I remember years ago watching a TV show, and this lady gets in line, and her total was like $100 and some change and whatnot. And she says, oh, I have exact change for that. And all of a sudden, she starts pulling out these jugs of pennies. And so to pay a $100 bill, she's going to count out, you know, however many pennies that is. And you're just standing there in line with your one item wanting to check out. But here's this obstacle, you know, this person with their jars of pennies trying to check out. And, you know, as we think about leading a soul to Christ and being a witness for Christ, that in of itself is a divine encounter. But sometimes what you'll find as you're witnessing is that there are hidden steps or there are unseen barriers in a sinner's heart. And that's why a well-timed question can be the key that opens the door to salvation. So here's the principle we want to look at this morning, and it's to ask the sinner, is there anything that would hinder you from trusting Christ right now, today, as your Savior? And so you're there, Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. And who would like to read? Oh, let's see here. I had two verses written down, but I think we want to start and look at the story. Let's look at beginning at verse number 26. I'll read down to the two verses we have on our paper, and we'll get a volunteer to read verses 36 and 37. But let's look beginning at verse number 26. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all their treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And so we have here, of course, this very familiar story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we see a couple of things that we've covered over the last several weeks. Number one, you notice there, verse number 29, the Bible says there, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And so we have here, again, what we would call this divine encounter. That Philip, he's going about his way. The eunuch, he's going about his way. And the Holy Spirit of God, he impressed upon Philip, here's this eunuch, okay, go and talk to him. Go and share Jesus with him. And, you know, sometimes we have those same encouragements, as it were, from the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we're going about our day, and sometimes a person comes along our way. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we can't explain it other than the fact that it's God, is to go and witness to that person. Something impresses upon us to say, hey, go and share Jesus with them. Go invite them to church. Go be a witness to them. And that's the Holy Spirit pressing us. So that's the story here. But then also, we have here, verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The best thing that we have for a lost world, for sinners, is not our opinion, but it is Jesus. It is the Word of God. That is what will change their life. That is what will save them. And that's what we have to give to them. We have to give to them Jesus. And so that brings us to the text we want to see this morning. And who would like to read there verses 36 and 37? Acts chapter number 8. Verses 36 and 37. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Acts 8, 36 and 37. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so we see here that the eunuch asks the question, what doth hinder me? And this would be a great question when you're out witnessing, when you're out sharing Christ, is, you know, because you'll find sometimes you have people you're witnessing to and they might seem hesitant, and just ask them, well, what's hindering you? What's stopping you? Well, why aren't you getting saved? Why aren't you wanting to trust Christ today? What hinders you from trusting Christ? So there's several things I wanted to see this morning. Number one, and that's the purpose of the question. The purpose of the question. So ask them, is there anything that would hinder you from trusting Christ right now, today, as your Savior? Now, you have to understand, this isn't pressure. This isn't you trying to pressure them into a decision. This is to get clarity. This is to get understanding. You're helping the person to identify if there are any remaining doubts and or confusions. And so like Philip here with the Ethiopian eunuch, we're helping the seekers to recognize their readiness or what's holding them back. Again, the eunuch says, what doth hinder me? And Philip's answer was simple. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's the only requirement for salvation. That's the only requirement for baptism, is that someone believes in Jesus, is that someone believes that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You know, it's like a man who was once standing on the edge of a diving board. And he's standing there, he's looking into the pool, and I mean, this man, he's just trembling. He's just shaking, kind of quaking in his boots. Now he's already there. He's in his swimming trunks. He's already trained, but he freezes. He froze. And so the swimming coach comes up to him and asks him, "Well, what's stopping you?" And it's that moment of reflection that helped him to take the leap. And so you're going to run into people that they're ready to get saved. They're ready to trust Jesus as their Savior. But there's going to sometimes be those last little obstacles that you have to help them get over. And that's what we're going to see secondly this morning. And that is the obstacles to salvation. The obstacles to salvation. So this question, what doth hinder you? This question helps us to uncover some potential hindrances to why somebody would not be ready to get saved. Number one is arrogance. Arrogance. In other words, I don't fully understand what it means to trust Christ. They're just unaware. They don't know what it means. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and who would like to read there verse number 17? Romans chapter 10. Nicole, go ahead.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
All right, and so here's the verse that helps them overcome that. Faith cometh by hearing. The only way they're going to get faith is if they hear the Bible, if they hear the word of God. And you see it, what it says right there. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, you hear, again, not by somebody's opinion, but you hear by the word of God. And that's what people need. And that's what can help them get over that obstacle of, well, I don't fully understand what it means to trust Christ. But not only that, number two, fear of commitment. Fear of commitment. They think, well, I don't think I can live the Christian life. I don't think I can be a Christian. They think, how could God possibly save me? How could Jesus possibly save me? Look, if you would, John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. And who'd like to read there verse number 12? John chapter 1, verse 12. Miss Sue, go ahead.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
All right, and the key there is that kind of middle part, last part. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, it's not in our power that we became Christian. It's not in our power that we got saved. It's in his power. It's always been in his power. And so you have to help those that you're witnessing to understand that it's not in their power that they get saved. It's not in their power that they get born again, but it's in his power and his power alone. But then the third obstacle is just love of sin. It's just love of sin. In other words, I'm not ready to give up my lifestyle. I'm not ready to give up my sin, the way I live. And we looked at that the last couple weeks, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so you have to show them that, and then there's another verse that talks about that, about the pleasures of sin, it endureth for a season. And you need to show them that their sin will eventually bring forth death, that it will eventually lead to their spiritual death, but also their physical death. But then the fourth obstacle, and again, there are many obstacles. These are just a few that we're covering this morning. But the fourth obstacle that I believe that we have to overcome is pride. Is pride. In other words, they might say, well, I've always believed that I'm good enough. You know, you'll run into people like that. You know, they're trusting in their good living, or so to speak. They're trusting in their religion. They're trusting in their works. But look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And who'd like to read there verses 8 and 9? Miss Martha, go ahead.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
All right, so we see here, we need to help them understand that we don't get saved, we don't go to heaven because of what we do. We don't go to heaven because of our good works. We go to heaven because of what he has already done for us. And so we need to encourage them, you know, because again, you'll find it. Well, I'll come to Christ when I clean up my act, or when I turn over a new leaf, or and you know, you just fill in the blank, right?
When I get old,
and that's a real dangerous one, because we're not promised to get old. You know, we read every day, and we see on the news every day of young people who I just happened to put on the news last night, and I guess what was it, Wilkes-Barre?
I don't know. I wasn't watching with you.
Or, but this young girl. That they were playing on the creek, and she was playing with her mom, and I guess the current came and got them and swept the girl away. And this was back on May the 5th, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So a couple weeks ago, they just found the young girl yesterday, just found her body yesterday. And I'm sure she was probably, you know, thinking, oh, I have my whole life ahead of me. But you know, we see it every day. We read of it every day.
It's like my friend that was murdered by a drunk driver recently.
Yeah.
He was only 34.
Yeah. And so we don't have it promised that, you know, we're going to get old. And that's why the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. So we need to encourage them. You don't have to clean up to come to Christ. You come to Christ to be cleaned. And so that brings us to the third thought this morning, and that is transition to decision. The transition to decision. And so once you get the obstacles cleared, then the time comes that you need to move on to the decision. And so again, asking this question, what doth hinder you? Or what hinders you? It now shifts the question from theory to action. Look, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice there, if you would, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so, we get over the obstacles. And now it's time to make the decision. Because why? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This moment is very important. And it's important that we don't rush it, but we also don't delay it either. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for somebody to be saved. You know, Joe, Tim, and I were talking before service and or before Sunday school this morning, and he had just mentioned that I asked him what, you know, how his week was, and, you know, what was he doing this week, and he mentioned he had went and done some fishing, and so we got to talking about that, and I don't fish. I've never, you know, really been fishing. I mean, we went fishing a couple times in Philly, but it was kind of... Yeah, there's, you know, you can go over, they have certain designated places, but you catch the fish and then you just, you know, you toss them back. It's just, you know, for fun for the kids, I guess. And on the outskirts of Philly, there are suburbs and things you can go to. But so I've never really been in the fishing, don't really understand it. But I do understand, you know, it's like a fisherman as we think about this transition. And it's like that fisherman, you know, he puts his net down, and then after a long night's work, he brings his net back up, and that's not the time to walk away, because the fish are in the net, and they have to pull up gently on that net so it doesn't break, and the fish get away and, you know, get back into the ocean or whatever, but they're also pulling up firmly so they can get the fish in. And the same thought is true as we're fishing for men. You know, we need to be gentle but firm. You know, we need to make sure that they understand today is the day, that they're not promised tomorrow. And so that brings up the question then, well, what happens after salvation? What happens after we get them to pray the prayer? Well, the Great Commission isn't finished. Right? Because too often, soul winning and witnessing and sharing Christ, it stops at salvation. It stops at conversion. But Jesus gave us, for the Great Commission, he gave us four parts. He gave us a four-part command. Look, if you would, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And notice, if you would, we'll begin at verse number 16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so here's the four parts he gave. He said, number one, go. Teach all nations. That first part of teach is the salvation, is getting them saved. He then says to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the first part, we need to go. The second part is we need to win them by teaching them. And then the third part is we need to baptize them. And then the fourth part, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So after we go and win them and see them trust Jesus and come to Christ, then we need to continue after them, make sure they get baptized, and then we need to teach them. That means we need to disciple them so that they can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, you know, it would be like, you know, if you had a newborn baby, right? and gave birth. And he said, oh, what a pretty baby. What a beautiful baby. What a handsome baby. And you thought, oh, I've been so blessed to have this baby. And then you just go and you leave it at the hospital and, you know, let it fend for itself. That wouldn't be very right. Well, the same thing is true when we lead a person to Christ. They are a newborn. They are a newborn babe in Christ, and they need somebody to be, for lack of a better term, their spiritual parent. And so this four part, number one, go. That means we need to be intentional. We need to win. That means we need to preach the gospel. We need to baptize. That's a public confession of Christ. And then we need to teach. That's ongoing discipleship. That's what we do here in Sunday school and in Bible studies. It's an ongoing discipleship. And again, you know, imagine you deliver that newborn baby and then you leave it on the doorstep. Well, salvation is the birth. Discipleship is the raising. And so the simple question that we need to ask as we're witnessing for Christ is just simply, is there anything that would hinder you? And that's a spiritual flashlight, because it helps reveal that final shadow of doubt. It opens the heart to action. It's not just clever, but it's spirit-led. It's scriptural. And so for us as Christians this morning, there are several things we can do as we go about witnessing. Number one, we can be bold. We can ask the question. It might be the very thing someone needed to move from indecision to salvation. But not only be bold, but secondly, we need to be thorough. Don't just stop at the sinner's prayer, but lead them into baptism and into discipleship. And then thirdly, be faithful. Be faithful. Commit to walking with them as they grow in Christ. As they're learning new things and as they're growing in Jesus and as they're growing in their faith, you know, be there with them each step of the way. You know, it's exciting when you see, again, that newborn baby grow up, isn't it? And they grow into a toddler. They grow into a young child, a preteen, a teenager. And then before you know it, they're graduating high school and going off to college and, you know, going into the workforce. And, you know, before you knew it, that newborn baby, they're a 35-year-old man. And you're like, man, where did the time go? Well, the same thing is true as a newborn babe in Christ. You know, just as excited as you were of seeing that newborn baby, you know, grow up, is the same thing when it comes to Christians. We see them get saved, and, you know, we might see them stumble and fall on their journey, but then they grow up into the Christian that we know they can be with God's help. And so I'll give you this challenge as we close. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. Take that home this week and try and memorize it. Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. But as soul winners, as those who are witnessing for Christ, we need to remove the hindrances as we seek to lead people to Christ. And if you'll take these six principles we've looked at over the last month or so, then you'll be able to share Christ. You still might not feel as comfortable as you may want to, but you'll be better off than perhaps you were before you had these principles and putting them into practice. And so let's pray, and we'll dismiss the Sunday morning service.